All right. Hello, everybody. And it's been a while since I put out anything on the podcasts here, so it's really a pleasure to start doing this again. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Inga, and I run a website called Healing Radiance, where you can check it out, and I do Akashic Record readings and also clearing at the soul level, and healing and realigning your soul to its original blueprint. And the reason why I haven't been putting out anything for a while is actually I've been moving continents. So I moved to Europe, and I live now on the Maltese Islands in the center of the Mediterranean. So it took quite a bit of all kinds of adjustment, and I felt I didn't really have so much coherent stuff to say, or so much new stuff coming in, because, well, as you probably know, moving, especially moving countries, can take quite a toll. But I've been very blessed to have my clients from all over the world, and I have been learning new things from you every day. So what I was going to talk about today is actually, you know, related to what's been happening in my life, and I think in many of your lives in the past year or so. And it's about following our dreams and receiving inner guidance. Basically, what does it mean to tune into our inner guidance, right? Because we want to be on our mission. We want to follow our path. We want to find our path, right? And to stay on our mission and to expand our mission. And sometimes we don't even know what that mission is, so it takes a bit of adjustment there as well. But always the main issue is, well, how do I know, right? How do I know I'm on my path? How do I know I'm doing the right thing? And that's why we go to, you know, someone like me, and I go and ask for advice when I need it as well. That's why we need external input from people, from counselors, from therapists, from readers, from healers, psychics, if it must be. And that's why we ask for inner guidance as well. And sometimes, you know, we are so confused that we do need external help. That's perfectly normal. But today I wanted to share how, you know, in my experience, how we receive inner guidance. What are the ways that we can sometimes look over, and what are the ways of receiving inner guidance? And this is, of course, this is a major topic, and I have, I know I put a free ebook on my website as well, which shares some basic advice. So today I wanted to go a little deeper. And I mean, I guess in some New Age circles, it's common to talk about guides and, you know, connecting to your guides, receiving advice from your guides. I have to be honest here, I'm not very big on guides specifically. That means that I don't really do readings where I tell people the names of their guides and, you know, how to connect with them and what to look for, what their guides look like and how many guides they have. That's just not what I do. And, you know, because I don't find it helpful in my own experience. Many people do that. And, you know, if you like to do that, I was also trained to do spirit guide readings. And if you like to do that, there is nothing wrong with this. But what I learned from my experience is that in this time when we're shifting so rapidly and where everyone is growing so fast, sometimes our guides need replacement, and we can indeed call and ask for higher and wiser guides to come in and replace the guides that haven't had those experiences you need help with anymore. Your guides may have served you for multiple lifetimes, lifetime after lifetime, and they have served you well and faithfully, but right now they simply don't have experience in what is happening at the moment in your life and in life of the planet. So we may need higher and wiser guides, and we may need upgrading our guides several times. And I have done that, and I have also received new guides and new guidance, but I'm not very particular on the topic of, you know, listening to your guides, because there are so many places to receive guidance from. There is your guides, there is high beings you're connected with, right? Maybe you feel a particular affinity with Jesus, or say Mary Magdalene, or I don't know, Joan of Arc, or Isis, or Durga, or Krishna, and you receive guidance from spirit through their prism, or a particular saint. I know, just when I started reading the Akashic Records, I discovered that my guide in the records, well, let's say one of my guides in the records, anyway, I met Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. It's an old monk from the First Crusade, if I'm not mistaken, and the founder of a Cistercian order. What was funny was that I used to visit Cistercian monasteries for years, and I was a member of lay Cistercians, and visited both in Wales and in Norway. And I thought that was absolutely hilarious, because why, out of blue, suddenly does this Bernard of Clairvaux guy shows up in the Akashic Record readings, which I thought were, you know, incredibly new agey and nothing to do for a Catholic monk, even 1,000 years ago. But I did recognize the past life connection, and just a few months ago I visited the place where he preached, in Vézelay, in the center of France, and saw his statue, and, you know, a prayer spot dedicated to him, and I thought, well, finally we meet. And I recognized then later on, when I found out he was on my guiding team, I recognized, you know, some of the guidance that was coming from his perspective. Where I'm leading to is that our guides are not God, right? They are not omniscient. They are not, they don't know everything. But of course, because they're not constricted by the 3D reality, and because they have had experience from their lifetime and, you know, from guiding us over multiple lifetimes, they see better and they are better connected to spirit, so they're able to provide better clarity. But I think we should not constrict ourselves to just, for example, you know, okay, so I have two guides, so now I have to listen to everything they say. They usually, typically, they know better than we do because of their more expanded viewpoint, but they're not the ultimate authority, and none of us should ever give their power away to a guide, to a teacher, to a guru, to anyone. We accept, we receive what resonates with us, and what doesn't resonate with us, we don't receive. So never give your power away to guides, never blindly follow something that is your guidance or that you think is your guidance. Yes, it takes discernment and it takes a bit of practice, but that's what we're here for. And sometimes what seems like a failure, or it seems like, well, why did my guides tell me this nonsense? It didn't work out. Remember that sometimes we take a step seemingly in the wrong direction, but it is the beginning of something else. So the trick, I think, is that the important part is that we should never give our power away to anyone, including, of course, our guides. But I wanted to speak about more subtle ways of guidance. For example, and I'm going to share again my personal story, because I've just been seeing how it unfolds months later. So almost a year ago, I felt a call to move from the US, and I didn't know where to, but I received a word that it would be somewhere lighter and with more positive energy than where I was living. And I was living in a fantastic place and very, very connected to spirit. But it was also a challenging place spiritually. But in any case, I received a call that I was to move to a more feminine place where, you know, the divine feminine was worshipped. And I had no clue where I was going or what I was going to do. I would have preferred it to be an English-speaking country. But so I started asking for more guidance. And suddenly it... like just a couple of days after I asked for guidance, because I was feeling really strange. I knew I had to move, but I had no idea where or how. And I obviously I had a job and was setting up my business, and I had a place to live and a long-term prospect where I was living, which was in New Orleans in the U.S. So yes, it's a very interesting place, but it can get a bit challenging. But I was very happy there. And so I felt this call to go, I don't know where, and I was asking for help to discern where is it I am going. And a couple of mornings after that, I woke up and I remembered that 10 years ago, I wanted to retire on this little island right in the center of the Mediterranean, and it was the island of Gozo. So I thought... well, that's a possibility. And I started looking at, because I wanted to buy a home, so I started looking at real estate prices and so on. And I started thinking, well, maybe indeed this could work and I could work remotely. And I guess it's a possibility. That same day I was listening to a seminar where something caught my attention, and I started looking up people who worked with the subject online. And the first person whose line of work I found interesting was a woman, an American, but then I realized that she had moved to that little same island, Gozo, of the Maltese island as well, and she was running her business from there. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Later on, we started studying with this woman on the same course, a remote online course. So we met eventually in a cave on that same island. But that was the first thing, and then it started coming, you know, daily. Someone would start talking to me about Malta. I bought a guided meditation which asked me to go into an underwater temple on Malta, etc. And I thought, okay, I got it. I'm moving. So I moved, and in August last year, I settled in here on Malta, on Gozo. And I remember when I was looking at real estates, I saw a place. And it goes, it was a tiny island with 30,000 people. So, I mean, finding an American woman who had the same topic that I was interested in, working online and living on Gozo, it was a bit strange. Kind of, you know, it sends signal because it's a tiny little spot. But so when I was looking at places to move to, something caught my attention, a little village. And I thought, well, what if I live there? I will live there. And I remember I saw an apartment there as well. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe I'll get it. So in the end, I come to an island. On day two, I look this apartment. And on day three, I buy it. In this little village that I had imagined I would be living in while still, you know, all the way in the U.S. And it seemed really imaginary, just, you know, shooting out this idea into the universe that, well, I was going to buy an apartment in some place which I didn't even know how to pronounce. And, of course, I end up buying the same apartment in the same village. Now, I used to visit that island quite often, but I hadn't been there for 7 years, and I did not know this particular place, that particular place, you know, where I'm living now. I've never been there. I had not been there before I bought the apartment. And, you know, at that moment, yes, I used to know people, but I didn't know anyone on the island. So I was kind of going into the unknown. Of course, I did want to move and to retire on this island years ago, but I wasn't, I didn't quite realize why I wanted to move to this particular place, etc. Well, it turned out to be one of the best villages on the island, so I'm very happy with my choice, but as you can see, it wasn't a very logically thought through process. It was more trusting that inner call. So how does this inner call come about? And here you have to find your own ways, I think. And it does require courage sometimes. For me, what I learned somewhat very early on is that our desires, our deep innermost desires, you know, something that makes your heart sing, something that just resonates through your whole body, are very often the expression of our soul's mission. Because they would not be there if your soul wasn't somehow incorporating them. You cannot imagine what does not exist. And I don't mean some base desires, you know, to eat all the cookies in the house or to get drunk or whatever. But I mean the other type of desire, right? The desire that makes your heart sing, that, for example, you want to save all the cats in your street, or you want to help, I don't know, you want to run a kindergarten, something like that, something that may seem crazy or outrageous to others. It doesn't matter. What makes your heart sing is most likely some form of your soul's mission. So your work is just to find how to align it with your reality. And I can tell for myself that it is indeed true that we create and shape our reality to a miraculous degree. And there is really no explaining it sometimes. But as your perception of life changes, so does your reality change. This never means, I never mean that, you know, to blame the victim here, or to say that, you know, you brought the bad things on yourself, or to take away any personal responsibility. No, what I mean is, in order to align your life to your mission, to your call, to what your soul desires, you have to allow these desires to penetrate your mind, you know, to allow them to take root in your mind, to start thinking about these desires, to start visualizing them, to work with them and see them gradually trickle down into your life. Because if they remain in the a realm of possibility, opportunity, maybe one day when I retire, it will remain like this forever, and it may never happen, and you will forever, you know, spend your life hunting for what your real mission is, whereas you could have lived it now. Now, there is a timing, of course. There, it doesn't that you something if you desire something does not mean that the timing is right now. Sometimes you need to go through a process of purification, through a process of change, through a process of acquiring maybe new knowledge or shedding what is no longer serving you. You will know. In my case, as I said, I had this dream of moving to the islands 10 years ago, and then something came up, and I wasn't visiting for 7 years because I had to go elsewhere and I had to do other things, and I felt so called and so drawn to go and do other things in other parts of the world that, you know, there was absolutely no chance, time or money for me to visit the Maltese Islands again. And that was fine, because the work, the sole work that I had to do was elsewhere, and it was my call and my mission at the time. And when that lesson was learned and when these gifts were received, I was ready to go. I knew that, you know, where I was living, I had learned my lessons, and as much as I loved the place, it was time for me to go up to a more energetically resonant place. So a few months forward, and here I am living in this little village on the island of Gozo when I learn from a very grumpy old gentleman who is writing a book on prehistoric Malta that this place in prehistoric times, say 50,000 years ago, was populated by, was used by people from Sirius as a channel, in a way, to receive fifth and sixth dimensional souls in order to help them adapt to the 3D reality, and the multiple local temples were used to amplify energy. They were related to the balance of divine masculine and divine feminine, and my particular village, now this little village where I felt called to move, it was used as a reception station for higher dimensional souls to come and adapt to the 3D reality. Now, this particular gentleman, he didn't believe that any word of that, but I found the information that he was relating, and I read it with great interest, and I said, well, isn't that remarkable? How on earth did I move to this village? So, of course, there was no way of knowing, and I think if I had known it logically and had tried, you know, with my human mind and human powers, I don't think it would have worked. There was no way. There was no way on earth I could have moved from America to a tiny island on the Mediterranean and moved to the same village, you know, to the same place where all of these energetic things were happening. It's just not possible. So in order to follow the guidance, in order to receive tuning in to the mission, we have to let go of our personalities and get out of our own way. As I say, you cannot outsmart the universe. You cannot be smarter because the universe works, right? The connections, the tricky wills of all the people, the co-creative capacities of everybody, they have to come together, and you cannot, you're simply, you know, your mind cannot comprehend how these things work. So it's really easier to surrender to the flow. And by surrender, I don't mean to be passive, but I mean to do your best, and it requires just courage, you know, jumping into and trusting that you will actually survive and not starve, or I don't know, whatever, get lost. Courage, of course, you know, the capacity to work and to get things done, but we are, you know, it's too difficult to think of all the possibilities and to think of the ways how things will happen. So we have to trust with the how and the particular way things happen. We have to surrender it to the universe. And I wanted to give another example on guidance. For example, there is a village on the island where a huge dome stands here on the same island. Where I live, there is a huge dome, the second tallest unsupported dome in Europe, actually. It was built by the local villagers through donations and volunteer labor, the local masons. People never believe that because it's really huge, and people don't believe that, locals could have built it. They think something is fishy and the Vatican must have paid for it, or the Knights of St. John must have paid for it, or someone must have paid for it. So it's very difficult. But I happen to give guided tours of this church, and I know that some villagers, mostly retired, but they work volunteers for the church, 20, 30 hours a day for nothing. So it seems at least very plausible that this could happen 50 years ago. But in any case, this place, this huge church, it used to be a different, smaller church in the 15th, 16th century. There used to be a church before that. Before the church, there was a Greek temple. Before the Greek temple, there was a megalithic temple. And they were all on the same spot. Now, I think that people did not consciously, I mean, logically and rationally sit down and decide, we have to build a temple on this exact spot. We have to, you know, put the altar here. There were no secret, you know, plans transferred from 5,000 years ago that this exact spot had to be the exact same spot. I honestly don't believe that. I think what happens is somewhat like me moving to Allah, to the village where I live. I think what happens is when something that happens when you look back and when you realize how all the circumstances in your life led to one particular outcome. There is a call, there is an overwhelming desire to do something. In the case of this village, it was, for example, to build a church, or, you know, 2,000 years ago, to build a temple on the ruins of another temple, moving a little bit right or left, but overall on the same place, on the same spot, thousands and thousands of years. Why did the architect decide, for example, to build it in a round shape, a very unusual shape for a Christian church, signifying, you know, the feminine, the Divine Mother? Maybe he knew, maybe he didn't. Maybe it was an inspiration, maybe it was a calculated choice, maybe it was a little bit of both. But I think very often we see the process only, to quote St. Paul, as if in a mirror dimly, right? We don't see the whole thing. We see only in retrospect how things have worked out eventually. And we marvel at, well, how all of this was brought together to this, you know, how all this signifies and means something. So following guidance in whatever it is, in whatever little piece of the world, you are called to fix, you are called to fill with light. It's sometimes a very rational process, and I don't think you are supposed to rationalize it or to make it a very, you know, to write the step by step. How am I going to achieve my dream? How am I going to you know, make my business flourish? In fact, I can say that very often, if you think that the, you know, from point A to point B, the closest, the fastest route is the straight line, you would be wrong. Because if you aim to earn a lot of money, you will most likely never earn it. Whereas if you aim to give some value to the world, that's most likely where your abundance will come from. It's not the direct route to earning money, to think of earning money. It's not the direct decision to build, say, the largest temple in the world that will make you build the largest temple in the world. Now, here I'm just fishing for ideas. But if you choose to give glory to spirit, if you choose to, create beauty that makes others heal their soul, right? To offer beauty as a medicine for their soul, that's where your abundance will come from. So it's wrong to think that, you know, we have to aim for this, shoot like an arrow. What do I want to do? And then I go straight. It's often actually the spiral route or some of the trickiest routes that lead you from A to B in the shortest possible amount of time. So then to sum up, following guidance is not a straightforward path. What we do need to remember is that, of course, we need to learn to listen to guidance and to see signs from the universe. Sometimes it is the little things. What is helpful is keeping our hearing attuned, removing the distractions if possible. For example, do you need to watch TV all the time, or do you need to have music on constantly, or do you need to always read the news? Because, of course, informational overload will most likely lead to you not being able to receive anything else. So making space for silence in our lives can often be the best tool to learning to receive guidance, because in silence you can finally start listening to that little inner voice. And most likely the universe will not scream at you, and there will be no fireworks and sparkles and angels coming up and down to and from heaven. Most likely it will be something subtle. It will be like a flash inside you, or this very deep knowing is throughout your body. Yes, this is something that I want to do. Now, how do I do it? As I said, you cannot make the universe, you cannot outsmart the universe. Allow the house to fall into place. Your job is to take the first step towards this goal and to trust it. Attempting to think the whole process through often blocks you from receiving more guidance. The more you trust the process, the easier it is to hear. Again, it's a bit of a learning curve there. But inner guidance is often this, what we call the still small voice within, right? So it's that little whisper, never intrusive, never forceful, because you are free. You can choose to listen and you can choose not to listen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be good guidance. You always have choice. You always have the opportunity to decide and adjust that guidance. And to listen to something that is small and gentle and not forceful requires silence, right? Requires a certain purity of channel. I mean, nobody is perfect, and none of us, or we wouldn't have been living here in the 3D. So of course we stumble, and of course sometimes we can't hear, and then we see it in the signs. Another thing is, the more you decide to follow the will of the spirit, to attune yourself to spirit, to attune yourself to the life of service, the easier it is to listen to guidance. When you surrender to the spirit, again, I don't mean surrender in a passive term, I mean surrender, really surrendering your ego to your mission, to your soul. The more you choose to do that, and it requires a lot of courage as well, the more you choose to do that, the more guidance you receive, obviously, because now the universe works for you. So following guidance is seeing the signs, learning to interpret the language of the universe, seeing those little things, someone you meet on the corner, right? Random people suddenly telling you about the same thing. Sometimes you can walk down the street with a question and you hear someone behind you telling you an answer in a random phone conversation, and boop, suddenly, they walk away and there you go. And you have an answer. So listening to those signs, allowing the flow, you cannot decide how the answer will come to you, how it will be given to you, but it will come. So there is so much more. And of course, meditation and inner knowing, and if you have, the gifts of downloading information and connecting to your guides, of course, that is great. But there is, as I said, there is so much more. There are so many other ways of connecting and knowing. So I'm going to talk more about the esoterica I think in a couple of next broadcasts, where I'm going to talk about, you know, what I briefly mentioned in terms of the ancient temples and the Sirius and so on. That would be a more, let's say, knowledge-based podcast, probably a couple of them. So stay tuned if you're interested. But what I wanted to do today is just to encourage you to never cease fighting for your dreams. That is so totally worth it. Until next time, you stay safe and blessed. Bye.